This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 9th of January, 1962. The title of this lecture is 2010 3D Crisscross. This tape is 87 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Wow, you look different. You do, you know. We had a bit of water under the dam over the bridge since I've been gone. I had a wonderful Congress, absolutely fabulous Congress in D.C. People thought it was wonderful. Almost ruined me, but probably saved Scientology United States without much trouble. And running on American meters, which had been manufactured, God help us. If any of you got American meters, there's a garbage can out there. Because these things were built, you know, without any consultation with me and across over my dead body, practically, on circuit changes and so forth. And this is not propaganda. But by George, you know, they don't pick up with holes. And that left practically all the Scientologists in the United States with missed with holes. Just like that, bang. And that was what was the matter. And the first day of that Congress, I had to just scrape them up off the floor. It was the hardest show to get on the road he ever wanted to see. Got to talking to him about with holes, told him what was wrong and so forth, and they came right along with it. Laid into the organization along about Tuesday. They had by that time three British meters, and they all of a sudden had been finding that there was practically one missed withhold per question on the Joburg and things like this, and their morale started going up. Everything started moving along very well in the field and so forth. A lot of excitement about this. Very funny, the people came to the Congress with big plans on how to rewire and salvage American meters. And they took a look at the British Mark IV and saw the thing in operation and just scrapped the American meters. Actually, it was all over the floor that they should scrap American meters, just skip them. But Reg gave a demonstration, very ably done, and it had an American meter element, of all things, in the projector. And we got a PC, field auditor's PC, and he ran her there on the stage. And the withholes were pretty juicy. And they were all missed across the boards. And Reg glancing back at me in the wings, because it was an American meter, you know, should he, with more, you know, and I told him I thought there were probably two more. So although they weren't showing on the meter, he went right ahead and pulled two more. And then, of course, I stepped on and told people, well, you see what missed withholds do. This girl, by the way, started looking very bright and so forth. I've been looking rather gloomy at first. And I gave the auditor who audited her, I didn't even know his name, you see. I gave him hell and Mariah and mischief and said people shouldn't do that sort of thing, you know, and really cut it up. His mother wrote me a congratulatory letter saying it was about time somebody took him apart. But anyway, it was a great Congress. And things really rolling very nice. But there was a great deal of technical data suddenly swung into place while I was gone. Had some time to think and consolidate a few things. Got to look at havingness, amongst other things, and havingness in its relationship to withholds. That was the main thing. And out of this, you get 2010, on which you've just had a bulletin. And I think you'll find 2010 really makes a PC sore. If it doesn't, you haven't got his withholds off, or you haven't got his havingness process. But in view of the fact that a withhold cuts down havingness, that's all you can say about that. Withhold cuts down havingness. And when you get the withhold off, all you have is potential new havingness. I better start at the beginning. This is the 9th of January. This is the mystic month. The mystic month, 9 Jan. You know what a Jan is, don't you? It's a ghost from Arabia. Well, this is the mystic month. This is the month of mystics. We're going to cure them this month. St. Hill Special Briefing Course. It's business about havingness now. This is very important. Havingness had as many as 43 different reasons why it worked. And you'd be very interested that it came down to a child's definition. The sixth lecture of that Washington Congress, by the way, a January 52 Congress, one whole hour is devoted to this and so forth, and a very concise rundown, if I say so myself. I'm going to give it to you in about 30 seconds. That is to say that havingness is best understood by no havingness. And I had this in the bullpen for, 7 years, trying to get the common denominator of what havingness was so that it could then be applied to auditing and so on. And all of a sudden, Reg runs some havingness on me, and I kind of took a look at it, and we had an error going in the session, and all of a sudden, boom, why? Suddenly realized what havingness was. It's best understood by the reverse definition. What is no havingness? No havingness is the concept that one cannot reach. I know this is so elementary, it's going to take you 24 hours for it to dawn on you. Anybody knows this, you know. Everybody always knew this, except nobody knew it until the other day. No havingness is prevented reach, in other words. Concept of no reach, no havingness, all right? And then havingness is simply the concept that one is able to reach, and that is all havingness is. One merely has to have the idea that he can reach something in order to have it. You see, you don't have to reach it in order to have it. You merely have to have the concept that you can reach it. And that is havingness. And out of 43 chances in which this definition did not occur, we all of a sudden have a common denominator to havingness. Now, this is tremendous value to you as an auditor. We're back, of course, on reach and withdraw. We're back into the common denominators of communication and all these old-time proven truths. And we're right there, you see. And that is havingness fits right into the bracket at once. So, now I'll give it to you with the 12-inch gauge barrel. On the other hand, a person with withhold, of course, has a concept that he can't reach. So withholds reduce havingness. I mean, and therefore, running withholds improves havingness. It's so elementary. There's nothing really to it, except it's one of these sweeping truths like the world is round. I mean, it makes that much difference. All right, now let's look at this. Let's look at this a little bit further. This tells you that the moment when a PC has released a withhold, he has a potential reach. And if you don't capitalize on it in the very near future, of course, he doesn't realize that anything new or strange has happened to him very often. He gets off a withhold and it doesn't do him any good. You've seen that happen, you know. The fellow gives up a withhold, and all of a sudden it doesn't seem to do him any good. Well, the reason it doesn't seem to do him any good is he hasn't practiced reaching since. You're waiting for the accidental. 3 or 4 days from now, he all of a sudden finds out he can reach in that particular quarter, don't you think? Well, instead of leaving it on automatic and just letting him find out about it suddenly, well, straight away, why, after you've pulled a few withholds, run some havingness, that's all. And you run the withholds, and you run the havingness, and you run the withholds, and you run the havingness. The reason I tried to figure out some reasonable ratio, and that auditors can remember it, is the better reason for the exact ratio than any other reason. Call it 20-10. And that's 20 minutes of withholds pulled, and 10 minutes of havingness, no matter where you're sitting in the withholds. See, no matter what part of the question you've gotten, whether you've got a question flat or not flat, it doesn't matter, because you're going to come back to that question anyway. I had to do some experimental workouts on this to smooth it out, and that apparently is the way it sits. So So it doesn't matter then. You just say, well, we'll come back to this question later, or anything you care to say to the PC. And right now we're going to run some havingness. And just do that on the 20-minute mark. And you'll find that if you run the havingness 10 minutes, why, you're all set. Now, the rule of havingness is you should run havingness until the PC can have large objects in the room. But you know very well that a lot of havingness processes out of the 36 don't tell you whether the PC can have large objects or not. Now, havingness will run to a rise in the needle and then a blowdown. You get a rise, 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 rise. You watch the needle, and the tone arm keeps following it on up, on up, on up, on up, and all of a sudden the tone arm blows down. Well, it would be optimum to run it to blow down if some PCs didn't wait for two or three sessions to blow down. So that's why we don't use blow down as a criteria when to stop running havingness. Just run it 10 minutes, that's good enough, and you'll find out that'll do a lot of good. Now test the havingness after the first 8 or 10 commands. After the first 8 or 10 commands, get the second can squeezed. In other words, when you start to run the havingness, get the can squeezed, get your needle set, you see, so that you'll get a third of a dial drop or something like that. Just make a crude estimate of it. Swing your sensitivity back down, don't you see, from where it's been while you were security checking. And getting squeezed the cans and watch the degree of squeeze. Well, that's fine. Run 8 or 10 commands and ask for a second squeeze. And if it drops more, the needle drops more, and it is looser, you're all right. See, you're okay. And if it doesn't loosen up at that point, of course your rudiments could be badly out or something like this could happen, but the point is the havingness process should put the rudiments in. In other words, you should get a loosening needle, even if the PC is doing it at all, you should get a loosening needle on the havingness process. So, although some wisdom will occasionally monitor this, and you will do something else, like ask him if he has an ARC break or something like that, you ordinarily, and this practice would not go wrong at all, you would ordinarily get another havingness process. And you just keep testing for havingness processes. And that does not go on the 2010. See, that time stands alongside of the 2010. If you have to find a new havingness process, you don't count that into the 2010. And then you find it finally, and you run 10 minutes of that, and you go back to your withholds. Now, you're going to find out that a PC, the more intricate or oddball the havingness process you find for the PC is, the more higher probability is that it's going to wear out. And you usually come down to something like point out something that'll last a long time. Look around here and find something you can have. When you finally get onto that and it's running smoothly, it generally will run practically forever. But what is the emotion of that room object, you see? Oh, man, I mean, that thing can wear out clang. By the way, that is a remark that is seldom made about havingness processes. That particular one, you know, is a changed process. After a little while, the emotion runs out and the havingness process changes, and you might not have known this, but changes to what is the condition of that room object. What is the condition of it instead of what is its emotion? Did you realize that that thing changed? I don't think it's written down anyplace. I don't think it's written down anywhere. It might be in a lecture someplace, but there is that point about it, that one goofball thing. Now, getting back to 2010, I would advise you at this time not to security check any other way, because it capitalizes on your withholds, and you'll find out it should work like a hot bomb. Now, if this is working properly, and you were actually pulling withholds on the PC, and all is going along splendiferously, and you're not missing withholds at every turn, and so on, and the havingness process is working, you actually running this on some character off the street, something like that, should produce some interesting miracles. I mean, some interesting things should happen to the case just as a result of this. Now, there's another mechanic that I haven't told anybody, and that's this. The oldest test of circuits shows that when you run havingness, the circuits key out and move out of the person's perimeter and out of his head. These black mass circuits that are mentioned in book 1. They key out and move out of the person's head. Now let's move right on into 3D here. The Gold's problem mass with terminal upturn, terminal upturn, terminal upturn going on up the line, tremendous number of terminals and opposition terminals could make, if you drew them as circles opposite each other, long series of circles vertically, one opposite each other, one representing the terminal, the other representing the upturn, they would represent what you might call the main chance, the main line. Those are the terminals, and those are the opposition terminals as the person has deteriorated down the track until he finally became human here. And that is the main chance. That's the main track. And when you're trying to get a 3D package, what you want is the main chance. You don't want a whole lot of locks. Now, if you'd consider that as these two circles facing each other, see, and then below that, two circles facing each other, and two circles facing each other below that, and so on, as it went on down the line. Now, as you get down lower and lower and lower, you're getting more and more to present time. Let's plot it that way. All right. Now, back there about the middle of the patch, or toward the beginning of track, or middle of track, or something like that, just as an example, you have a whole bunch of lock valences. Now, they depend on the main terminal and the main opposition terminal for that particular period of the track. But they are locks, and they confront each other, and they face each other. And they are just little offbeat valences. And there are so many of these that a PC almost has one for every type of personality there has ever been. I don't know if you're aware of the tremendous multitude of these locked valences. It's something like trying to count the stars in the Milky Way. Now, what we're interested in is the main chance, the 3D package. There aren't very many of those, you see, and that's what holds all the rest of the bank together. Well, if you've got the terminal and the opposition terminal for any given period, these will run. These will run very nicely. But, you could get your hands on literally any one of thousands of subsidiary lock packages. And some of them run, oddly enough. Some of them look so close to something. They look so near in. And they register so nicely for a while that you actually could put your hands on a false 3D package if you were assessing people who were very bad off and very keyed in. Why? Well, let's say that 1 million years ago, he had some kind of a game going, and he was a water buck. Oh, well, now you know I'm back, huh? And the other valence was a tiger. And you've got, now, hanging on to a water buck, you have a school of fish. See, water and water, and there's a school of fish. You know, he got mixed up, and he was a fish for a lifetime or two, you know. And then hanging on to this was a school. For some reason or other, there was a school where they taught water bucks to be water bucks or something of the sort. And hanging on to this, a totally false valence, if you were going to try to run it as a 3D package, it's nevertheless there. We have school teacher. See, it's just a piece of this school. But that's hanging on to a school of fish, so that's hanging on to something else. In other words, some silly concatenation of this character, you see. All related in some wild, idiotic way, you see. And over on the tiger's side of the thing, over on the tiger's side of the thing, was, of course, another valence, tigress, is associated with that valence. And then, for some reason or other, women who have tigerish habits, you see, is associated with that. And then a girl student, you see, hangs on to that in some mysterious way, because she liked to lick her chops or something like that. You know? And she's hung over there on that side of the thing, you see. Now, unfortunately, he has led a very interbulated present time life. Unfortunately. He's in a very much of an interbulated state. And he's a school teacher in a ladies' seminar. Well, now, that valence doesn't separate off the school for water buck, school of fish, water buck, you see, package way back there. They are so inseparable, short of auditing, that that whole package pulls up into present time, and it makes the goals problem mass have a great big curve on it into present time. And on the other side, the op-term, unfortunately, was matched at that point, so the op-term curves into present time. And in present time, he would read school teacher versus girl student. If you were just asking for it, just off the bat, you'd get school teacher versus girl student. And it looked like a 3D package. As a matter of fact, it'd stay in for a little while, a very little while. It'd read kind of sporadically and stupidly and so forth. Of course, it's been re-stimulated, so the goals problem mass is warped into present time. If you get the idea of the mass ever having been straight, you see, which it probably hasn't been, but it has the potential of being straight. It has the potential of being a plotted time track. And instead of being straight, of just being bent over from 100 trillion years ago, let us say, down into now, on both sides, you see, it'd look like quite a snarl, because it brings along with it a school of fish. And as a school teacher, he's always been deathly afraid of fish. This is inexplicable to him. And there's all kinds of other things in there. And if a woman were to look a little tigerish, why, he would either marry her or kill her. You know, sometimes isn't much choice. And so there is a goals problem mass, which will give you a scratchy needle. Gives you a dirty needle. Scratchy. You can't read past it. He's got a horrible present time problem. He's a school teacher versus girl students. This is keyed in perpetually in session. Has nothing to do with the first available terminal and op terminal that you're going to run. You're not about to find a water buck, and you're not about to find a tiger. You see, you're not going to get anything here but a big mess. You try to audit past this, and you try to assess past this, and you're in difficulties perpetually. You can't quite figure out what's going on here. You know the PC has present time problems, and yet he doesn't assess, and all this kind of thing, and it's just all kind of haywire. You see, what's happened there is that the present interbulence has caused one of these myriad of valences to match up in some kind of a pair up in present time. And they got no business being in present time. And that makes unavailable other packages, so therefore the PC is more or less unaccessible. Now your havingness runs out circuits and runs out valences. And as a matter of fact, if you've been audited on some of the old skills, you may very well yourself subjectively have seen one of these things leave while you were running havingness. Seen it peel off. Actually, so you can do a really interesting clinical experiment. You can run a PC's havingness down by making him talk against strain. And you can see one of these things move in and run some havingness on him and see it move out. And it's peculiarly noticeable when it is a talking valence, you know, when it's a valence that actually talks, chattering valence. Because the PC, at first, will notice that it is speaking, and he will be speaking a certain way himself. And if you're very clever on the observation, what will happen next is the PC will start telling you what it is saying as the answers, and then the PC himself will not distinguish between himself and the circuit, but will merely dramatize the circuit that has just been keyed in. And then you run some havingness, and it moves out, and the PC will again be telling you what it is saying, and then it goes on out, and the PC is not paying any attention to it and talking like himself. This dramatization type of action can be keyed in and out, and sometimes in auditing you may have seen actually a black mass depart from you. Well, now, what holds the black mass in? Havingness, you see, is intimately associated with withhold. So as havingness drops, of course, one withholds harder so as not to lose anything. So therefore, when a PC has withholds, he holds the circuits in, and his havingness remains low. Now, you may have had this experience. You may have taken somebody and audited him for 75 hours on havingness. I say some auditors here have done just that. And watch the fellow polish up to the nines, actually just look marvelous, you know. Everything is fine, everything is going beautifully, and so forth. And he walks out about 3 feet off the floor, and 24 hours goes by, and he still feels pretty good. And 36 hours and 48 hours, and he's still alive. And 60 hours goes by, and 2 weeks goes by, and where was your 75 hours? He has gone completely back to the original state. Well, how interesting. But I'm sure a lot of auditors here have seen just that thing happen. Now, what made him relapse? You ran the havingness up in spite of the withholds, and the presence of the withholds pulled it back down again. So havingness apparently cannot remain stable in the presence of withholds. And when you get the withholds off and build the havingness up, you then are removing, as you take off the withholds, you are removing the reasons the havingness would drop again. Now, this is theoretical, but I think you will find it working out. So in other words, this offers you an opportunity to be able to run havingness without having it sag. And you know that would be wonderful, because PCs get all polished up at the end of a havingness run and fall on their heads. All right, supposing they got all polished up at the end of a havingness run and didn't fall on their heads. Well, the way to prevent their falling on their heads, of course, is get their withholds off, hence 2010. And that is the design of 2010. Now, why should you run 2010 at all on a PC if I can give you such a thing as crisscross, which we will take up in a moment? I might as well shoot you with 16-gauge, 12-gauge, 10-gauge, and 8-gauge loaded with buckshot and solid rounds. Because I haven't been able to talk to you for some time, and I thought, well, I'll plot this out, and this week I will give you a nice lecture today, and I will take up the Congress or something of the sort, and tomorrow I will take up perhaps havingness, you see, and 2010, and then Thursday I will take up crisscross and so forth. But you know how it is. You have to get it all done at once, and so on. And I don't think I could withhold from you that hard on this much good news. It would be an actual withhold. So I said, well, I'll just let them have it with a grape and canister. All right, well, that wraps up 2010. That's all you'll hear about 2010, except being scolded for not running it right. But this goes much further. Let's take the 75 hours of preparation the PC should do, minimum, before he is assessed. Let's take this up, and let's see now that if the PC had keyed into present time a school teacher and a girl student, and actually the water buck and a tiger weren't even available as part of the package, and these things would get some kind of a weird registry, and then the PC wouldn't go any place, and actually they'd probably beef up the pre-half scale, and all sorts of things that happen if they were grabbed by some auditor in Cape Town or Sydney. Some auditor just grabs these things, you know. He says, hey, but it twitched, it twitched. Been sitting here for days waiting for it to twitch, you know. And she said, well, that's a terminal. We got it now. Got the 3D package. Didn't clear him, though. 3D can't be much good. He spun in. Of course, the thing didn't register when it was checked out. It was checked out after we'd run it 125 hours. Funny thing, though, I didn't have any trouble with the pre-HAV scale. You know, everybody talks about bad pre-HAV assessments and difficulty with the pre-HAV assessment. I could take anything on the whole scale. It was all alive the whole time. Well, that kind of nonsense could immediately result, you see, from having a PC who was unassessable. Well, why would he be unaccessible? He'd have these valences keyed into present time, and every time you ask him for anything, they would simply bang. Well, he'd bang on a present time problem, don't you think? He'd keep banging on this present time problem, the terminals resulting to it, and they're attached to the Gold's problem mass at some tremendously early period on the track, and they're very beefy, you know, school teacher in the days where the child didn't get his arithmetic and they hanged him, you know. I mean, real vicious, you know, something like the teacher at St. Hill. And but totally unsuitable, and you can't assess past it. Now, you run 20-10, the probability is that you will knock both of those out. And the goal's problem mass under 2010 should tend to straighten out, thus making available to you the main chance, the actual terminals, and the actual opposition terminals of the PC on the whole track. In other words, you've knocked these little button lock valences off, like warts on an apple. You peel the apple and you found yourself a good apple and you ate it. But that's the way that would look. Do you see how that would be? Kind of interesting. So you could run 2010, straighten it out, and the PC could be assessed. All right, writing was done right. All right, so much for that. We move right straight in then into 3D crisscross as a logical sequence. Why is it called crisscross? It's because you go from the right to the left and the left to the right, upgrading each time you go, and it makes X's. So you get a whole series of X's out of it, so it looks like a crisscross, and I thought that'd be a good name for it. The liabilities of assessment are great. Misassessment is very easy to obtain. It's one of the easier things to obtain. Some people hardly have to try at all and they get a misassessment. Now, in view of the fact that these little valences as locks, actual little circuits and things like that, they won't look little to the PC, but they're little in comparison to the goal's problem mass. In view of the fact that these things can exist left and right, and as long as they are the only thing you've got, they'll continue to run. In other words, you'll continue to get a knock on them somehow, although you haven't got the right one. See? And it won't be the right one at all, but it'll continue to knock, usually sporadically, but it can come in and out, and you'll keep getting a reaction on something like this, you know, like school teacher. Actually, the terminal was water buck. There's a long way between a school teacher and a water buck, but the PC made it. Now, if you don't de-intensify that area of the package, you're liable to get the school teacher, not the water buck. His attention is on water buck via the school teacher, and you get him to look no further than school teacher, and there you land. Do you see how that could be? You're trying to get his attention on water buck, and yet you only get his attention on school teacher, unless you get some kind of a stupid sporadic read. Now, the PC does not have to be in bad condition for this error to be made. Now, this accounts for a mystery which students have had here for some time, and that is how they can find an item, and the checker doesn't prove it out. And I've heard more students grinding their teeth, you see. It's a small, petulant sound you hear. Grind, grind, grind. It's different than sound of chewing gum. It goes slightly different. And you hear it out here in the hall occasionally when the PC has just been not checked out. Or the checker has gone ahead and found another terminal entirely. Well, what happened? What happened? It isn't really that the student was wrong, and it isn't really that the student was right. The student didn't know the whole list. When you get a wrong item, the checker always finds that there are several other items on the list still alive. Well, why is this? They might have seemed null, but they could have all gone null because the rudiments went out at one time or another, and as you walk by them, you X them out because the rudiments were out. And then you got the rudiments in and completed your assessment on some other part of the list and never went back and read that earlier part of the list, you see, with the rudiments in. So you didn't notice they were still knocking. Well, in other words, those things haven't been knocked out. Assessment by elimination actually is pulling innumerable locks off the actual item.
And while you've still got a half a dozen of these locks still alive, you've got enough charge on the situation that you can get a lock. You get a lock valence, and it isn't quite the right one. Now the checker takes it and works with it for a while. He finds out it goes out. It was probably almost ready to go at the moment you turned the PC in. Maybe you turned the PC in hastily, hoping it'd be checked fast so that it would stay in. But the checker going over this checks against the list items, don't you see, and goes down the list items and actually releases the remaining valences and then finds he's got the 3D item. It's a highly mechanical proposition. It shouldn't be considered very esoterically. Because if you haven't nulled completely anything there was on the list, you'll for sure have some valences left. You see, the PC has just called off valences when he's given you the list. He hasn't just dreamed up a bunch of wrong things. He sort of counted the warts on the frog, you know. You were looking for the frog, and he counted warts. And he counted them. He said there was there were all kinds of kittens and cats, and there were lions, and there were circuses, and there were circus performers, and there were flags with stripes in them, and there were clotheslines, and there were old men with whiskers, and there were cages, and tigers, and men with whiskers, and that's all. And you've gone off down the line, and of course all these things are associated with a tiger in his mind, you think? These circuses, circus performers, and cages, and whiskers, and all kinds of wild things. Mm-hmm. So you just keep knocking these things off, you know, and you eventually find the frog. Well, if you've got several of those alive, his attention can still be stuck on the locks. He has never given you a free list. Don't ever think that a PC ever does. A PC does not think thoughts of his own while dealing with the goal's problem mass. And when you get to be an old, ori-eyed veteran like myself, you never believe the PC in relationship to any part of the goal's problem mass. Because he's always talking to you as the goal's problem mass until you get an item null. That's quite remarkable. The PC that rises superior to his bank does exist, of course, and you do all the time when you audit. You've just been finished off in a session, and they didn't finish anything off, and they didn't check the item out, and nothing occurred. You see, you didn't get the item. You're still in a big question mark as to what the item is. And our next stop is end of session. And you go right into your next session and audit. And you audit somebody, and you do a creditable job. So you can rise superior to the goal's problem at. But a PC who has no necessity level or any reason whatsoever, any PC has no reason to rise above the goal's problem mass in any way, shape, or form. There is no reason for the PC to do so. Is there? He's just sitting there, isn't he? So if he says anything at all, I can assure you it has nothing to do with anything but the goal's problem mass. That's why you don't believe PC about his own case, particularly in session. PC will say, oh, yes, yes, I'm a wart. Yes, oh, that's me, all right. Yes, yeah, oh, yeah, sure. Circus performer, that's awfully good. Yes, circus performer, I'm an old man with whiskers, that's right. Because, you see, I've actually been always afraid of cages. So really, I'm a cage, except I'm a high wire performer, except I'm a flag with candy stripes. And he tells you he's all these things because his attention, of course, has been put by you on the goal's problem mass, and he expresses himself very thoroughly in this particular direction. You see, his attention is on it, and there's no reason for his attention to be on anything else. So you actually never find a PC actually being audited in the vicinity of a goal's problem mass, whoever tells you anything but the contents of the goal's problem mass. Just make up your mind to that. Now, you characters who occasionally believe a PC and take the PC's choice about some matter make me wonder sometimes because he's just running off like several phonograph records. He says, wow. And he gets there and he says, circus performer. And he says, well, I've always been on high wires. I've always been deathly afraid of them. And that's why I am, and so forth. And this is me. And it's absolutely true. Because he's in a valence. You think, at first glance, that there is only this type of valence. You think that there is only the type of valence which exists wholly as itself, and that you are looking for it, and it's not any other valences around it. See? Examine your thinking on this subject, and I think you will agree with me that you more or less have looked at this thing as there was one rock in the middle of the ocean, and you were looking for this one rock. No, that's not true. The ocean is full of rocks. You're just looking for a big rock. That's all. And when you first start looking, all the rocks look the same size, and then you finally find one is bigger than the other, and it's on the main chance. Don't you see? So that whenever the PC's attention is on one of these locked valences, he's talking to you squarely out of a locked valence. You put his attention on it thoroughly, so therefore you must never take his judgment. Because a circus performer, he'll even start using circus lingo. He kind of thinks that way. And that's the way he tours through the bank. Lock valences. Think of a bag of raisins with an apple in it. And you know, he can thoroughly dramatize any one of those raisins. And it derives its whole force and power from the apple. But because the apple is invisible, why, of course, you don't know what the apple is. And the PC usually can't quite describe the apple. He starts to describe the apple, and he tells you about another raisin. And he thinks about the apple, but he describes another raisin, don't you see? And it isn't until you've got a tremendous number of these raisins discharged or eaten or something, nulled out, that the PC will say, well, how silly, Tiger. Tiger knew it all the time. Couldn't think of it, doesn't he? I don't know why I couldn't think of it, but couldn't think of it. Well, if you understand those characteristics of the Goals Problem Mass, and if you got that taped, that it's a mass of goo, but it is goo which has molecular composition, you see, any one of these valences will look as big as your head. They will. They aren't small. They aren't microscopic. Any one of them can be drifting around, or appear to be drifting around, while thoroughly tied to the Goals Problem Mass. So that your way through all this is a treacherous way. You see, a PC doesn't give you much help. Of course, he does try to help you. Very often, a PC rises spectacularly above the bank. Even in a session, he rises spectacularly and he says, this is all fine. And it's so and so and so and so, and we checked off so and so and so and so, and it's fine. But that could also be the valence of a judge that has suddenly come up, you see. And as an auditor, you just can't take that chance. Well, it's a judge, so he, of course, can adjudicate at that point. If he slips a little bit, he'll say, well, off with their heads, too. It'll sort of slip into the sentence structure. So you're walking a very tough road, because although there may be just a relatively few vital combinations which are hanging gorgeously suspended in space, gorgeously suspended in time. Absolutely fantastic how they could continue to balance themselves this intricately so as never to discharge down through the trilenia. They have accumulated unto themselves the most fantastic number of fellow travelers you ever cared to mention. See, he's got a valence for everything he's ever been, and it gets hooked over onto the Goals Problem Mass. As long as the Goals Problem Mass is charged up, these things are liable to stick together and cross-associate and so forth. So, the way to find one, of course, the most reliable way to find an actual part of the 3D package is with the goal. Let's find a real goal for the PC, and a goal the PC has had, and it'll lead you straight into the main chance. That's 3D, which is formal or standard assessment. You find the goal, you find the opposition. Terminal, you find the opposition goal, and you get the modifier, and you get the terminal, and so forth, and that's it. And if the case is assessable, of course, that's perfectly workable, and the case could be put into an assessable state by enough preparation, and then you could go ahead and handle it on its standard way, just as you have been doing it. All right, is there another way to enter all this? Let me tell you now some of the liabilities of all this. One, his auditors have lost PC's goals lists. You know, that's one of your greatest liabilities. PC then, when he writes up the goals list, doesn't ever give you the goal. You know, because it was ticked and stressed and then rejected in some way, in some fashion, he doesn't come up with it. It's so often true that if you can find the PC's original list, you can find the PC's goal. And if you can't find the original list, you've had it. You get the goal by bleeding down the meter and by doing all kinds of odd things. And it makes a very tough, long assessment. And you're usually trying to find the goal anyway before the PC is in any shape to be assessed. And it takes 6 weeks to no goal, you know. Well, is there any way this can be short-circuited? Is there any way this could be short-circuited? Is there anything else we could do about this? And yes, there is. There's 3D crisscross. Let's supposing the PC has had some preparation. Let's say the PC can be kept in session, those as requisites. And let's say that some auditor has lost the PC's goals list after finding the wrong one. And the PC is kind of ARC broke, and it's all invalidated. We don't know which goal was invalidated, so we don't know quite how to straighten out the invalidation. It's all sort of rough. Is there any other way to go about it? Well, the first and foremost method of going about it is to run general OW on the PC, self, general OW on self, and make a list of his answers. What have you done to yourself? What have you withheld from yourself? Make a list of his answers. This is a real slippery action here. And then you up and say to him, in this many words, you say to him, "Who would you treat like that, mate?" And of course this takes him by storm, because he hasn't thought of this as an activity. He just thought of this as life. This was him, you see. Well, who would you treat like that, you know? What have you done to yourself? Well, I've kept myself up late at night. What have you withheld from yourself? Bad news. What have you done to yourself? Well, I've put myself in the hospital every time I've been feeling bad. Well, what have you withheld from yourself? Well, I withheld from myself certain beverages such as coffee. Goes on like this, and you say, well, who would you treat like that? And he says, Gore, a sick person. You say, who else would you treat like this? And he gives you a very nice, neat list. You assess that list, and you will find some part of the 3D package. That's quite an interesting thing. Be prepared, however, to also not find a part of the piece of the 3D package, because this one can slip to this degree that you again find only a lock. See, that's not a surefire method. The surefire method is goal and standard. But that gives you a starting point. And that is a thing which is perfectly usable and perfectly accessible. And if the thing does prove out, and if it does match up properly into a package, of course, you've got a 3D item. Of course, all 3D items are susceptible to test. And that is a way of entering a case, because it gives you an item, bang. All right, now let's take up a more specialized case. You may not have been aware of the fact that in this running of routine 3D, one of your greatest liabilities is clearing the character. Yes, you can come up along the line and take your finger off your number and run a piece of free track. You know, there's free track outside the goals problem mass, and you've had a long lot of look at free track. Most of the engrams you've run are actually PC's free track. This lifetime, in most cases, is free track. except where this lifetime has been a total dramatization and a re-stimulation in an interbulative area so that the person has had the goals problem mass all his lifetime. Ordinarily, it'd be free track. So you have free track, and then you have the goals problem mass, and these things are two different things. All right. You got the goals problem mass? Here it is. Free track. You run the PC down this, and you can find a valence floating free, utterly and completely free, and audit it, and have it slope off to the side, sort of at right angles, the goals problem mass. Raise the PC's determinism like mad. Everything goes along dandy, everything is beautiful, and the PC will clear without having taken apart the goals problem mass. And this can happen to you running 3D. You all of a sudden find yourself sitting there looking at a floating needle. Well, having taught you how to make clears in some cases, I now have to have the dismal pleasure of teaching you how to wreck them. How do you wreck a clear? Well, it's very simple. You take any goal on which the person was run and simply find its modifier, and he will no longer be free of the goal's problem mass. That is it. He'll make a head-on collision. So all you have to do is actually just start groping in the direction of the modifier, and you've spoiled a clear. And they spoil that easily. You can spoil them in auditing far more easily than you can spoil them in life. So you should know this about that, because if you did ever accidentally make a clear, you, of course, are up against it if you didn't know this other trick, because nothing will read on the meter. Yeah, a person feels fine. They don't think they need any audit again. Everything's wonderful. A few twitches here and there, occasionally, but fine with them. See? They're clear. But they're only keyed out as clear. So the trick is just find a goal they have run, or find a goal in any event, and get its modifier. And when you get the modifier, of course, that was still a sleeper, and it was contained in the goals problem mass if it was found in the first place, and it pulls the whole goals problem mass in on the PC with a clunk, and it is a PC again, not a C. You should know this. You should also know why life can key in an old-time clear, and why, since 3D came out, we have had a general, anytime anybody was indifferently assessed in the direction of his goals problem mass, don't you see, even though he'd been clear before, he caves in as a clear rather rapidly. You should know that. All right. Now, it's a liability doing this, because this can make a clear, and that is about the only thing wrong with 3D crisscross. Because you don't have a goal to key in the goal's problem mass if you accidentally made it clear. Because crisscross is getting a package without a goal. And then after you've got the terminal and opposition term, then you find the goal and the modifier and the opposition goal. So you could go the whole distance here and wind up at the end with a terminal and an opposition terminal of some kind, but these things, just by inspection, just sort of went. So early in the game, for heaven's sakes, find a goal for one of the items that you find. And I don't think that's in this book. Just find a goal. Just take a moment out and find a goal. You've got an item, it's sitting there, it's banging good and hard. You're going to go on and find some more items. You're going to do some more crisscross on the thing, but this is early in the game. Find a goal for that item. This item, the PCs, it's this kind of an item. Is, well, that's me, that's me, that certainly is me. If I ever ran across one of them, I'd kill them and so forth. I won't have anything to do with them personally, you see. That's me, and so forth. He's in a kind of a mixed state with regard to this item. And this item is reading beautifully on the meter, and so forth. Everything's going along gorgeously. Well, just let's find out what kind of a goal that person or that thing would have, and then find out what kind of a modifier it might have. But you don't have to find the modifier right then. You don't have to find it, because you can leave that off till later if the PC went clear. Now all you have to do is remember you found a goal for this item. See, I'm talking about a fresh PC from someplace or another, you know, and you haven't got a goal yet. If you've got the goal, I find a modifier for that goal, and your goal's problem mass will come right back in with a clang, and you can go on with your crisscross. Okay? It does have this liability that a person will go clear on it. Now we're warning you against clearing people, you see? Life is tough. Now, let's take a clear. Somebody who has been run through to clear. And let's get an application of crisscross. Let's get the person to remember, this clear to remember, the first goal, preferably, on which he was run. And let's find the modifier to it. Well, that spoils the clear. That's the end of that. And let's take the first terminal that was found. Now, he's only got one item, oddly enough. Just a terminal. There's no opposition terminal. Must have been the right one, however. And let's take that terminal and let's list who or what would oppose that terminal. Let's make a list, long list of these things. And then, having made a long list, bleed the meter, make sure that you got all items, no more needle reaction on asking for further items, and eliminate by assessment until you are left with one item. And then, having been left with one item, be sure it is the right item out of that list and check it over just as carefully as you check over anything, but don't take forever about it. Who or what would oppose that item, that new item? Do the new item in the same way. And now you get this, get a list, who or what would oppose that, and so on, and et cetera, and so on, so on. Well, this is rather unsatisfactory because it gives us a single track, and we're not getting a crisscross. We're getting a sort of a cross stitch that has just got one side of the X each time, don't you see? We're missing one half of all of this as we go. And there's some more things mixed up in all this, and we know there are, and we will be missing them, and we will wind up with only one item, and we want two items. So let's find out, before he was cleared, let's do half of this way, just as I've told you, you see. We'll treat that first terminal he found as one of the items, and let's find out, before he was clear, did he like or dislike that item that was first run on him to clear him? Before he was clear, did he like or dislike it? Really make him remember this, because it's quite important. If he liked it, you now run the dislike list. If he disliked it, you now run a like list for your second item. I'll go into that a little more fully in a moment, but that'll give you two. Remember then that in a person who has had a 3D package already, routine three package already assessed, which is proven out, that you have one item already found, but it requires that you find the other item, another item at the same time. And you are thinking, of course, who or what would oppose that gives you the other item, and it doesn't. There are two tracks. A crisscross of two tracks runs through a goal's problem mass. This is what is difficult about it all. And you'll get a skip. You'll skip half of it. If I drew a picture here, you would see it very easily. You've got your terminal op term, each one represented as a circle. And you've got these two circles, two circles, two circles, two circles, two circles. See? Well, you're getting every other circle as you go up on a single side. And you need the X. You need everything connected to everything with a cross slant, see? You only got half of this thing if you're just assessing from a single terminal. You got the idea? And it gives you a much more definitive look at the bank to have two sides to this thing. So remember, you have half of this done if a person has ever been assessed on routine three. You already have an item. Now that's dandy. That's dandy, and just leave it at that. But get the other side with a like or dislike test item. Now, this will all be very, very clean, clear, beautifully understood in about 2 seconds. You can stop looking blank. Because let me tell you now what a crisscross would be from scratch. And this is from scratch. One, you ask the PC, what kind of person or being haven't you liked? Probably better to get the dislike off first. People dislike easier than otherwise. Now, that's the burning question. What kind of person or being haven't you liked? Now, if you said, what person or who or what, you see, he would give you Aunt Agnes and Maybelline and George Bernard Shaw and so forth. And these things are relatively useless to you. They're not sufficiently generalized. So you snake him into giving you a generalized term, and only you put yourself right up on top right away. And you make a long list of this thing. Well, I frankly don't care whether you bleed this list or not. Just make sure it's a nice long list. Don't let it go to 1,500 items or something like that. Any one of these, I would consider 100 an unusually long list. Like 100 items, that's pretty long. Be perfectly prepared to go to that, and if the PC gives it to you, well, give it, take them. But this is getting awful lengthy at 100, you see. 80 probably be more natural. Average list might very well be no more than 15 or 20. So that's why I say 100 would be awfully long. All right, who or what haven't you liked, Mike? I would produce Aunt Agatha, Maybelline, Uncle Bill, and so forth, and we want a disagreeable bum, see? A cockeyed Marine. A parachutist. We want burning items that will go backtrack. And Aunt Maybelline will not go backtrack. So we have this. Now, it doesn't give us the pluralities that we might get. And you could vary the question so that you got plural answers, like criminals. You can say, what kind of people or beings haven't you liked? If you wanted to go into that. However, this doesn't require all that precision. I tell you that on 3D crisscross, you can blow your brains out with precision that is not necessary. It would remind me of the ensign who, having taken a sight with a sextant he left out all night and sat on and dropped on the deck and had its prism missing and besides didn't get the North Star but shot the truck light. Then goes in and by the hour calculates with the greatest, neatest mathematical precision that he is within 6 1/4 millimeters of a certain drop of water in the ocean, you see. Calculation is terrific, you see, and the data from which he is taking it is the roughest kind of a shotgun shot that anybody ever had, see. Because this is a real shotgun shot, you see. The possibility of his actually coming up with a 3D item with his test list is quite remote. Because you're not asking him against any goal. You're not asking him against any stable data. He doesn't even really know what you're asking him for. But you get a nice long list, and then number two, you null that list and locate one item that remains or was last in. That means you would actually be allowed to go down the line and have them all null except a machine. And a machine was the last one in. So the machine was the last one in. Well, it had something to do with something. Now, supposing you had the terrific misfortune of being left with 3 alive that you couldn't get rid of. Well, you either have 3 powerful locks or maybe even 3 3D items. Well, doesn't mention it in this bulletin, but all the time you're working with this, you keep a data sheet over here. And every time you find an item or something on the PC, mark it independently of the list. In other words, keep all the lists too and keep them circled and do anything you want with that. But you find you wind up with an item, you also write it over here on this data list. See, and any other data that you want to write with it so you can identify that item. All right, we take off then with this as a test item. We call that a test item, the item we found from resulting from this list. See, that's a very simple operation. Anybody could do this. You could do this on almost anybody. You could actually do it on somebody who is relatively inaccessible, which is quite interesting, which makes it very interesting to you, extremely interesting. Now, you come over here and write that item in, whatever it was, anything you want to write about it. Now, the one thing I want you to remark on such an item list is what gave the PC somatics. That I want you to remark on. Anytime the PC said, ouch, or he had a pain, an actual pain, not a sensation, why, write it down, somatic. And anytime he had a goozle of energy going through his goozlem, and it was giving him a sensation, you write down that as part of that item. And also when listing, and he calls any of this to your attention, it was Buffalo Bill he passed by, and you're nulling Buffalo Bill, and he suddenly looks at you, say, what's the matter? And he said, well, I had an awful pain of an arrow going through my back at that moment. And you say, well, that's very interesting, and write opposite Buffalo Bill on the nulling list, not on the main list, write somatic. See what we're doing? We're being very smart. We're tracing so that we can identify the terminal when we finally wind up. And we can finally look back through and scout down and find the terminal right on the button. Well, this is a neat way of going about it. All right, so much for that. We have now nulled one list, and we have wound up with one test item. We've written it over here on a separate sheet of paper, and we have clearly marked it a test item. That doesn't mean that it's a 3D item. All right, now we turn around and we ask the PC, what kind of person or being have you liked? I don't care how strong you make this. Some PCs are stronger than others. And some PCs would much better respond to, whom have you absolutely, completely, detestably despised with hatred? And the PC smiles, you see, and he thinks that is very nice because it includes everybody he ever ran into. And on the other one, you'll find PCs that incline in the other direction, and you have to say to them, not what kind of a person have you liked, you see. You have to say, whom have you desperately adored? Whom have you loved, you see. That sort of thing. You can make these as strong as it seems to appeal to the PC. You know, you say, well, what kind of person have you liked? And the PC looks at you rather tepidly, you see, and says, well, just people. You know, well, what kind of person have you loved, you say? Oh, men, usually men. Well, shift your question around. What kind of person have you absolutely thrillingly adored? And he says, well, it says school teachers, librarians, railroad engineers, professional men, yes. You ask them the question that gets them the list. But remember that it's the love-hate duo that you're using here. You've already assessed for hate or dislike, and you're not going to assess for like or love. And you're going to make another list, and you're going to ask the PC that, and then you're going to null the list and locate one item as in two. And that, again, is a test item. And you put it over here, and when you got the first test item, you had better write whether or not it produced a somatic or didn't produce a somatic. And you had better also say liked or disliked on those two items to identify the list, okay? If it was the liked list, you write liked, and if it was the disliked list, you write disliked. That gives you a little further clue, you see. All right, now you're off to the races. You've got 2 points located in nowhere, but which are nevertheless takeoff points. These are just test items. They're not 3D items at all. Now you play the old game which you know so very, very well. On each one of these, you're going to run, who or what would oppose that blank? So you take a piece of paper, and you write across the top of it, who or what would oppose a school teacher? What you wound up with, see? And you get a long list of whatever it is, and you proceed on through. You bleed it down if you can, and then null the whole list. One of the ways of bleeding down is asking the PC, well, are you satisfied that any of those items are it? And sometimes we'll produce a search from some additional items. That's almost as good as bleeding the meter. That's just a little side trick I'd use. Are you satisfied that any of the items you've given me are it? And then he has to inspect this thing, you know. And he says, what was the question again? Well, the question was, who or what would oppose a school teacher? Well, have we written down inkwells? And, all right, you see, and that's just the same as bleeding the meter. Then finally you null the remainder and so forth. He said, well, that's it. It is inkwells. You know, I got it. That's why the mass is black. I know now. I understand that. It even has a cognition on it. See? Now, that is your first possible 3D item. The remaining item there. That's highly probably a 3D item. But you write it down, whether it had a somatic or not, and whether it proceeded from the other item or not. In other words, this was an item which proceeded from a who or what, so on. But we don't really care whether these two match up or the list is kept that neatly straight, because this thing is run to collision, is what it is run to. You're taking two different tracks, and they're going to come onto a head-on collision eventually. Then we take the second item, the second test item, we do the same thing with it, identically the same thing with it, and we run that on down, and we get another potential 3D item, and that will probably either be the term or upterm. And you've got a package there that possibly you could do something with, but that we don't do anything with it. We use those two items now, and we take a new sheet of paper, and we write at the top of it one of them, and we make a list of who or what would oppose it, and we bleed it down, and we null that whole thing, and we write that over here on the list, you see. And then we take the second one that we actually found, we write that on a sheet of paper, and we write a list for that, and then we bleed it down, and we null the whole thing, and that gives us another item. And we just keep on collecting items. And we just go on and on and on and on collecting items until we can't collect anything else. And we say, all right, who or what would oppose a water buck? And he says, a tiger. And we say, well, that ended that list. We try to bleed it down and we get nothing but a rock slam. See? All right, who or what would oppose a tiger? A water buck. All right, and you'll find out those two lists will eventually collide, even though they started rather far apart and went through tremendous vicissitudes, and you found lots of items. You now have guaranteed that you've got through 3D items. You couldn't have anything else. That is just assessment by wham. You also have walked well up grade while you were doing this, and you have also blown several sacks of raisins. There now went. So there you go. You'll wind up then with a package. It becomes impossible to get any other package. Now, you go ahead at that point and find your goal, and you find your opposition goal, and you find the modifier to the package, and you get the package all taped out, and that's the package, and that's the way it is. Now, make pretty darn sure that as you get these items, they're not wrong items, because that can throw you a curve and walk you back out of the goals problem mass. You see? Let's make sure that that item hung fire. Let's make sure that item stayed in. Let's make sure this thing didn't go astray. Let's do it with the rudiments in, and let's be careful as we proceed. All right, there's one further note to make on this, because, of course, if you get the wrong item, you're taking off from a lock, and you are not likely to travel the same course as you were taking off from an actual item each time. Number one, this cuts down re-stimulation. Number two, it has fantastic therapeutic repercussions on the PC. In spite of himself, he feels much better. He can't argue about this one. He's blowing them in all directions. And number three, it cuts down the amount of error that you might make, because even if you missed on one of the curves, your possibilities is that you just lengthened the number of assessments you had to do. You had to do some additional assessments before you got back into the mass again. And number four gives us a method of upgrading, which runs like this. A PC got a package. PC already got a package. PC now running package. PC very happy with package. PC all set with package. Everything going beautifully with package. You can crisscross it. You take the package the PC has got, and you crisscross it. The funny part of the thing is, you will go on a grand tour, and the probability is that he was running a center track package, or rather early track package, he'll walk back into the same package again. But this time with terrific clarity. You feel wonderful about this package, you see. And it also runs very quickly and will discharge very rapidly. In other words, you can go on the complete excursion of crisscross and get back to the package again, which is rather startling. And you will have blown off all the locks that are making it hang fire. You know, it would have run anyhow, but you can just blow all these locks per force by recognition. He knows what they were surrounded by and how it all links up together now and so forth, and he's in better shape. We're trying this a little bit earlier. I was telling you to upgrade, and all you did was go ahead and find a new package of some kind or another. The PC became considerably depressed because he didn't think he was going to get a chance to run his old package, and the new package didn't appeal to him as much as the old package did or something like this. Well, in this particular way, if that was the package he should have been running, believe me, he'll come right on back and run it. And if it's not the package he should have been running, then he would have been on it much longer, and he will come into the package he is running. But he will now know what package he is in the middle of and how. Now, there's nothing wrong with continuing to run a PC on a package he is running well on. Nobody is asking you to do otherwise than this. But also, part of running that very package would be to do a crisscross on it. You could just start out, and I take his terminal and run who or what would oppose that, paying no attention to the op term he's already got, you see. Don't keep that on the list. By the way, don't keep any old items on. Don't carry an item forward on the list. Yeah, well, you got a crisscross from a water buck, see, and it wound up with a tiger, see, and then you null down, you got a tiger. And now you do a new list of who or what would oppose a tiger. Don't, perforce, put water buck on it. See? Put only on each list each time what the PC has given you. See? Don't carry your old item over. You'd have a tendency to do this because all it does is start hanging the PC with what he already has. If it's right, he will move right on back to it anyhow, anyway, and there he'll be at. Very simply. Okay? In other words, you can take any package a PC is running and go on a conducted Cook's tour of the Gold's problem mass, blow off locks in all directions, soften the whole thing up, blow a tremendous number of cognitions, and you will either walk back to the exact one he is running or an upgrade that will run better. And it's quite amusing that it will go back to the same package again after turning all the way around through a tour of the bank if it is a middle track package. It's quite funny. It's quite funny. But having done this, you will find you come back to running the package, and he will now have pictures when he wasn't running with good pictures before. In other words, it takes that much charge off of it. Now, your next action with this, you can take a PC who is having present time problems all the time and run a crisscross on him without even intending to get a 3D package, and you will produce some of the wildest changes he ever cared to have. Quite interesting. You're not even interested in getting a 3D package. In other words, you've got a day or two to audit this PC, and you want to produce a remarkable change on the PC, and you can read his needle, and you can keep him in session. Well, you could go ahead and do the first few steps of a crisscross. and it'll land right squarely in the middle of the present time problem he's sitting in. That's the first thing it hits. See, and he feels wonderful about this sort of thing. So it stands as a totally independent operation of anything else, which I think is quite amusing. Well, now, that is quite a package, and that's quite a bag of tricks all by itself. And it has many uses. As I've studied it over, I've seen tremendous numbers of uses to this thing. One of the uses is prove up a package. Well, you got the package on a standard run. You had the PC skull, so you went ahead and found the rest of the package and so forth. You found the opposition terminal, and there it sits. And you say, this is all fine, and this is ready to run. Good. Run a crisscross on it, and run it until it can't be anything else, and then for sure you have the package, don't you see? The other thing is, it is an excellent way of finding out which is the terminal. Because as you run down the list, every time the PC says, ouch, you mark what made him say, ouch. And you will rapidly find out which side of this stuff the PC is normally on. Is the PC on the no change side of the ledger always? You look at it, you know, you say, well, you know. You can finally wind up at the other end, and you will always hit it right on the button. In other words, you never have to do a test run one side and then the other side or make the PC dizzy or uncomfortable or anything like that, because he's already been saying, ouch. Just every time he said, ouch, you looked at what you were nulling at that time or looked at the item that you were putting down as the ouch item, and this ouch item will be the terminal every time. Very interesting. And that every time he got dizzy and foggy and upset in some fashion or other, or had electronic sensations going madly across the fields in front of him, in other words, he had sensation that didn't add up to any change or somatic, you were probably running the op term at that time. In other words, you were nulling the op term. So you quickly find out that people who change everything around is inevitably the op term. And people who never change anything is inevitably the term. And you find out that's the way he's sitting. And that's the tack line he's always been on. You find some other PC he quite likely has change. We see that not all games are change, no change. I'm just giving the idea they can be any kind of a, well, any of your Scientology combinations can make up one of these games. He's always the create side of the ledger. See? Ouch, you know, you say, well, a design engineer. Ouch, you see. And he's going over and he says, so on. He says, well, pain in the back of my neck and so forth. And you've got it all set. You scratch it out. And you just mark it. And say, somatics. You find these things get studded with somatics. You know. And then over here on your final recapitulation list, you'll have somatic marked in here. Design engineer. Painter. Sculptor. Somatic, 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 somatic. Town builder, planet designer. You know, they're all ouch, ouch, ouch. And destructive types who insist on no creation of any kind whatsoever. They are always, or in other words, the winds of space, that kind of phenomena. And you'll get it as you run down the bank. And you, of course, after you've done a lot of these things, you can spot them. And you will know which side is which. You can hit it right there. Put the commands together, the PC will run like a shot duck. All right. Now, you've got something to learn then, haven't you? Because some of you I've seen take, this was much earlier, of course, and doesn't apply to now for the older students, but applies definitely to those people who are here recently. If they have an idea that it takes 2 or 3 sessions, or preferably 2 or 3 weeks, to write down a... I'm sorry to get sarcastic like this, but I have to do that. I ran a lock off of a sarcastic professor the other day, so I have to take advantage of this because I'm free to do it now, you see. And I used to just writhe under this. This made me wince because it was defeating everything in the shop. 2 or 3 weeks to write down 20 labels or items, you see, or test items, and then assess them and null them all. This didn't seem to me to be optimum. I would consider that if you could not find three or four test items in a session, you were slipping. Just raise your sights. Of course, that's impossible. I have a hard time auditing that fast myself. Now, I'll give you something to shoot at. I will settle for an item per session. I'll settle for an item per session. Because that's what it's been taking me. But that is not too difficult, an item per session. But don't you go dragging out two sessions with no item. Not on crisscross. On standard 3D package? Oh, yes, by all means. Getting them checked out, proving them up, all that kind of thing. Oh, yes, that's a different proposition entirely. But not on this. First place, they're very easy to find. The second place, they're very available. The third place, the PC gives them out. The fourth place, the PC is in session just obsessively. You start running these things. Of course, he's in one valence, then he's in another valence, and he's in another valence, and he's in another valence, and he starts to look like a raisin. There's one right after the other, bangity, 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 bang. And he's really in there tight. All right, well, that is crisscross. That is havingness. That is 2010. And, of course, there are a lot of other things I could tell you, but at the present moment, you haven't got the time, so we'll have to take it up later. All right? Thank you.